This episode is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. If you're the type of traveler who leaves everything to the last minute, then annual travel insurance was made for you. Buy your plan today, and you're covered for every trip you take in the next 365 days. Enjoy peace of mind knowing you're protected, whether you're heading out for a weekend getaway or an international vacation. Get the travel protection trusted by more than 70 million American travelers. Get a quote at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
Welcome to Caregiver SOS On Air, presented by the WellMed Charitable Foundation, with nationally known gerontologist Carol Zernial and award-winning veteran broadcaster Ron Aaron. This program provides health, wellness, and other information for caregivers who are vital to the health and well-being of so many people across our country. And now, here are your hosts, Ron Aaron and Carol Zernial.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Caregiver SOS On Air. I'm Ron Aaron, delighted to have you with us. Carol Zernial, our co-host on special assignment today, and Tina Smith is filling in. Tina's Director of Caregiver Program Operations at the WellMed Charitable Foundation. Tina Smith, delighted to have you with us again.
Thank you, Ron. I always enjoy being here. I appreciate the opportunity and, working with caregivers. We hear a wide range of topics and issues. And I know one of the things that are kind of hard to talk about are those end of life issues. So I'm looking forward to hearing how Esther and her company, Lola, help with that conversation.
That's our special guest, Esther Pipoli. And we're looking at how caregivers can get themselves prepared and organized. And I found a wonderful quote from Esther in which she says, "After I lost my husband and father, I spent so much time searching for help. I was financially paralyzed, emotionally paralyzed, and left with having to close down two estates as well as to go through legal battles. I created Lola so I could hold the flashlight for you, so you have someone to guide you through the maze of all that happens before and after a loss." Esther Pipoli, what a great idea, and I'm sorry you had to go through all that loss to create Lola. Thanks for being with us on Caregiver SOS On Air.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm always honored to speak with all of the team over there at WellMed and the Foundation, so thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about loss of life advocates. What do you do? How do you do it? Why do you do it?
Well, you know, it's a personal passion for me. I started Lola in 2017, so I'm in my eighth year now. And it was because I lost my dad and my husband 63 days apart in 2014, both to cancer. I was a caregiver for my dad. And I knew entering into the last year of his life, we knew that we had had a lot of the difficult conversations and he tried to get as prepared as he could. And so I was prepared for that passing. It was still painful and hard. But what I didn't know was that the last year of my dad's life was the last year of my husband's life, because the day we buried my dad, my husband said, "I don't feel good." And roughly 53 days later, there were 63 days between both of them dying, but 53 days later, my husband passed away. And
wow.
Yeah, it was quick. It was quick. So a lot of lessons were learned from that experience. And I just went through this process of trying to look for help, and I couldn't find anybody. I could find counselors and grief people to help me, and therapists and social, you know, people that were and that are there in the business. But I couldn't find anybody that could tell me how hard it was going to be and what I needed to jump first, like what hurdle. My husband was a business owner. I had to shut down a business that I knew nothing about. I did not know how to pay the bills. He was the primary bill payer of the family. And so I learned a lot of lessons. And so I decided in 2016, at the end of 2016, I had to fight for my husband's life insurance. And the lawyers here in San Antonio, some really great lawyers, won, and we settled, and I was able to take what was left of the life insurance policy and put it, invested into Lola, named after my mom, who died in 1999. And
when you say you had to fight for his life insurance, what was happening? You know, you have life insurance, somebody dies, they send you a check.
Yeah, well, you think it's that easy, but he actually died within 2 years of taking out the life insurance policy. So there is a clause, a contestability clause, that is there, that when you sign, it says, you know, if you lie on your application, if you mislead on your application, if you die within 2 years, if you die by suicide, there are all these different, causes that can kind of throw this into a investigation. And that's what they did, is they investigated it and came back and said, you know, we kind of thought that when he applied for the policy, he may have known he had cancer. And my feeling was, well, he fought so hard at the end. If he would have known at the beginning, he would have fought at the beginning, not at the end. And he'd still be here, hopefully. So we came to some type of settlement. And a lot of people don't realize that their life insurance, if they miss a premium, it triggers, again, you know, questions, medical questions, and everything changes for people from year to year. So you don't want to miss your premium payments.
We're talking about Lola and the founder of Lola. Esther Pipoli is with us. I'm Ron Aaron. This is Caregiver SOS on Air. Tina Smith, our co-host today. If you just joined us, we're delighted to have you with us. The award-winning Caregiver SOS on Air, available via podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and we're on the radio in a number of markets as well. We're talking with the graduate of the University of Texas at San Antonio, a BA in communications, the University of Texas Leadership Institute, and a woman who really understands the kind of help that you may need when a loved one passes. And I think one of the things we ought to do, Esther, is talk about before someone dies, there's some things that you really ought to take care of, like documents, advanced planning, powers of a medical and legal attorney. What do you recommend for folks?
Well, you know, having your house in order is always a great thing to do. And at Lola, that's what we try to do, is get with caregivers and their loved ones that they're caring for, to not only look at it like, I'm taking care of my father, I'm taking care of my husband, I'm taking care of my spouse or my partner, and I need to make sure I know where everything is with them. How is their bank account set up? You know, what do I need to have prepared in the event that they start to transition? What is palliative care? What is hospice? What are the financials around having support to come in and help you take care of your loved one so you can get a respite and a break? What are the resources in the community that are free for you, but then also you can maybe pay for it if you have a budget? All those things, we try to sit down with families and say, you know, where are you at? Because no two families are in the same place at the same time. You know, it's like the airport. No two wheels land at the same spot at San Antonio International Airport. Everybody handles this differently. But more importantly, what we're really passionate about, Ron, is the fact that caregivers need to take care of themselves. And in that, we need to make sure that they not only are getting things prepared for their loved one, but they can actually, their loved one can outlive their caregiver. And that's what's happening. We're seeing a lot of that, where the caregivers pass away before the person that they're actually caring for. And that throws the family into, now what? What is that strategy?
Tina Smith, we know that a number, almost 50% of caregivers predecease the person they're caring for.
Yes. Yeah. It's usually because of a stress-related condition. Just that the stress that they're experiencing when they're caring for somebody just goes unchecked. It just becomes a daily, just, you know, how they feel. And it'll eventually, unfortunately, catch up to you when that happens. And that's why it's so important to learn how to manage that stress. And I imagine this, you know, it is stressful to talk about end of life issues. It's overwhelming for those of us who may not be very organized and trying to figure out all of the different things that need to happen. So I imagine, Esther, what happens, you know, if you've got, you know, you're helping somebody, or how do you help somebody who just has no idea where to even start? They knew enough to come knocking on your door, but what do they do now?
So, you know, a couple of things, Tina, and thanks for asking that, because when we first started Lola in 2017, we would go to all these different organizations and meetings, and I'd introduce myself, and we were helping people one at a time. And so it was referrals, word of mouth from hospice companies and home care companies, people that were caring in that industry, right? And so we would talk with families and say, you know, let's start with, do you have the legal documents? You know, what is the emotional and the psychological capacity of their loved one? Is it too late if they don't have those documents in place? And then how is the banking set up and who's in charge of that? So those legal documents are really the pathway in. But what we started doing last year, which was really unique, was we decided we'd go on the road and we'd start doing workshops that were free for caregivers on Saturdays. And we have them throughout the different counties, but we go in to the municipalities and we say, look, we're going to bring all the professionals to you. All you have to do is either find somebody to take care of your loved one on that Saturday, which is usually a good day of the week where most people do support their loved one, the caregiver. And the caregiver comes in and they get a free breakfast, they get a free lunch, they get snacks. And then we bring, through walking them through our Lola playbook, the how to get prepared, what you need to have in order for your loved one and yourself. And then we also have some caregiver resources and professionals that will help them with meditation. You know, how are you breathing? How are you caring for yourself? But that stage and that workshop is specifically for our caregivers so that they can come get a break, but then also learn in one place. Hey, I've got my home care provider here. I've got my funeral home here. I've got my my banker here, I've got my insurance person here, I've got my lawyer here, and all those professionals underwrite those workshops so that they can pay for the food, so people can come in and get that support that they need in one location.
But you're spending a day, Esther, talking about stuff that people don't want to talk about.
Exactly. And, you know, it is hard to talk about the end of life because nobody wants to anticipate that ever. But, you know, it's like anything in our refrigerator. Open it up and pull out your yogurt or your mayonnaise or your ketchup. Look at the expiration on it. Everything has an expiration date. And so I think that we're really unique, that we really need to start working with our caregivers, our families, and more importantly, what's coming to us now is the sandwich generation of caregivers that are caring for their parents, and then they're caring for their children, and then they're going to work, and they're trying to care for themselves. So we have a lot of employers now that are actually coming to us at Lola and saying, help us create the cradle to grave caregiver resources so that we can help these employees that come to work and they have to leave because nobody's showing up to take care of their parent. And so it really is kind of, we're in the middle of a little bit of a crisis for our caregivers right now. And that's something that we're really passionate about at Lola, is to make sure that people have dignity in their home and at the end of their life.
As we've mentioned probably several times, is that it is a hard thing to talk about. It's, you know, the whole end of life. But do you work with caregivers, or do you coach them on how they can have that conversation with their parents? Because that may be, that's an equally hard conversation, trying to maybe approach your parents or the person you're caring for about some of these sensitive topics.
Yeah, we do a lot of role playing with them, and I'm certified through the grief recovery method. So we have a lot of tools available to start the conversation. We also, you know, talk about bucket list parties, you know, have a family meeting and have a bucket list and go over those things with your loved one. And it's an easy way as an icebreaker to start talking about where things are located, where the important documents are, and what do you want? And I just had a friend just recently this past weekend tell me over dinner, hey, by the way, my wife doesn't want to talk about this, but I'm going to tell you, Esther, I want to be, you know, in laying in state at this place for 4 days. And then I want to have this ceremony, and I want this served, and I want these people, and this is how I want to do it. And I'm telling you, and I thought, wow, I'm honored, but gosh, we need to write this down.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Now stay with us just a minute. We're going to come right back to you. We're talking about loss of life advocates, Lola, along with the founder, Esther Pipoli. I'm Ron Aaron. Tina Smith filling in today for Carol Zernial, who is on special assignment. You're listening to Caregiver SOS On Air. Well, thank you so much for listening to Caregiver SOS On Air. We're delighted to have you with us. We come to you every week with a discussion of an issue, a problem, some accomplishments involved in caregiving, with more than 60 million caregivers across this country, but most thinking they are the Lone Rangers. We try to bring you the latest information and help that can make that job easier and more manageable. Caregiver SOS On Air takes a look at trends across this country. We provide tips on how to be a better caregiver, and most importantly, where you can go for help. On Caregiver SOS On Air, we try to give you what you need to make that caregiving manageable and to provide you with the help that can make your life easier. I'm Ron Aaron. Carol Zernial and I are delighted to co-host this program, and we're thrilled you've joined us on the award-winning Caregiver SOS On Air podcast, available everywhere, brought to you by WellMed Charitable Foundation.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
Really good to see you once again. Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
Really good to see you once again.
I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host today, Tina Smith, and we're talking with Esther Pipoli, the founder of Loss of Life Advocates, a very powerful opportunity and a great organization to deal with all the issues that nobody wants to deal with. And Esther, you were saying that you got a couple of case studies you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, you know, when I do my workshops, I usually start with this one because I think it's very powerful for caregivers. So we had a hospice company contact us about a year ago, and it was about 8 o'clock at night. And they said, we're really sorry to call you, but we have this gentleman who lives near Randolph Air Force Base here in San Antonio. We're closer to Schertz, Universal City area. And he was at home making dinner about 5 o'clock, got a knock on the door, and it was the Floresville police with his brother, who was about 20 years older than him, and said, hey, is this your brother? Yes, it is. Well, I'm sorry to inform you, but your sister-in-law passed away tragically, and you're next of kin. So this young man, who is single, not married, no children, not even an animal, inherits the caregiver of caring for his brother who has dementia. So he starts panicking and saying, well, I have to go to work. I can't just I can't just leave him. I don't know what to do. What do I do with him? You know, so he goes to work and he starts making phone calls and he starts calling around to different organizations, hospitals, and they're saying no. So he gets to a hospice company on the second day, and the hospice company calls me and says, you know, we went out there. Brother doesn't qualify for hospice. So we said, you know what? Why don't you call Lola? What's Lola? Well, they're going to help you get to navigate towards resources and help. So he calls me. I call him at 8:30 that night and I say, you know, how can I help you? And he said, I need help. We scheduled the next morning for him to get a caregiver to show up at the place at his apartment to care for his brother. He was locking his brother in his apartment while he went to work.
Wow.
We get somebody to go in, and then we got him connected to a placement person who found some homes and said, hey, we can find your brother a place to live so you don't have to take care of him. And so he did some research. They went to a few places and there was a woman that said, you know, bring the brother and your client by at 4 o'clock. And near the medical center, it's a lady's house, private care home. They walk in and she's cooking dinner. And the brother who has dementia smells the food and says, I'm home. So then the brother says, okay, great. So we've got him placed. And then we got him connected to a law firm here in San Antonio that went out. The lawyer physically went out to the private care home and met both brothers the next day. And they were able to find enough cognition for him to sign over a durable power of attorney so that the brother could then get into bank accounts for his late wife. So the kicker of all this is, you know, here's the caregiver. It's unexpected. The main caregiver, as we were talking earlier, passes away, the wife. They're out in Floresville. She's connected in with a much like a WellMed. You know, she goes to these senior care events. She goes to caregiver events. So the committee around her, the group around her, her community started noticing she was missing. And they're the ones that called the police and said, we need to do a welfare check. She has not been here in a week and she's not answering her cell phone. So they pull up to the house. She had been deceased of a major heart attack for over a week. Her husband with dementia just did not have the cognition to be able to make the decision to call 911, or he thought he was stepping over a log.
So she was dead in the house.
She was deceased in the house, and there was nobody that was checking in on her. And it was those caregivers and her caregiver group that was actually the ones that triggered the something's not right. She hasn't been here. She's always been here. So those caregiver groups are so significantly important for our caregivers. But, you know, more importantly, when we were working with the brother-in-law, he was like, there's nowhere you can pick up a phone book or go on the internet and say, I need help. I just inherited my brother who has dementia. There's no handbook for this. So we were able to get him connected to placing his brother, getting somebody to help him in the meantime, getting him a lawyer that could help him get access into his sister-in-law's and brother's banking account and finances. He was able to find a real estate agent to help him liquidate the house and then sell the house. So he had money for his brother to take care of his brother for his rent. But that's just one case study of a caregiver that, you know, I always tell people, have your people that are you're close to that are contacting you on a daily basis to check in on you so that you have your team. Because if you don't have anybody checking in on you, this is a prime example. It took a week.
So, Tina, you probably get calls like that and you just send them right to Esther.
Yeah. Well, it can be tough to when you don't know what you don't know, it's tough to know where to even start. So it can be a challenge. I mean, Esther's team did an excellent job and it's got really good connections. You know, there's resources out there. There really are. There are resources out there, but sometimes it can be tough to tap into those. And so just knowing where to go, whether it's through Lola or whether it's through Caregiver SOS or the Area Agency on Aging, there are places that you can start to help you navigate, what is out there and how to tap into it.
Exactly. So, sorry.
And go ahead, Esther.
Caregivers are getting younger and younger. And Tina, I talk about this because we go to these coalition meetings. And the caregiver who we think is traditionally the wife, you know, it could end up being the grandchild. And that's really where things are starting to scale down.
Are you seeing more and more of that? Grandchildren providing care?
I am. You know, unfortunately, the middle parents, due to COVID, we lost a lot of that middle generation. So the parents, the children taking care of their own parents are having, you know, significant medical issues, if not, you know, declining and passing away, leaving the grandchildren caring for the grandparents.
How can they do that?
Well, it's hard because, you know, that's one of the things we're working on right now with some of our local employers is that they're coming in looking for solutions for their employees that are young, that are coming into work, and they're looking for cradle to grave services for them so that they can go to work and they don't have to worry about, you know, mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, needing help. And that's where we're really starting to see it come to us through the employer groups, where the employers are saying, you know, we're trying to find resources for our employees so that we don't have presenteeism happening. We don't have employees stopping work and leaving during lunch break to go home and, you know, move somebody around or help them for an hour and then running back to work. And they're the sandwich generation, you know, caring for themselves, caring for a grandparent or an older parent, and then, you know, trying to help with the small people in their lives, just getting them to the Little League games.
You know, it's fascinating, Esther Pippoli. You literally turned your life all around. You were working, I guess, in insurance, happy with what you're doing, happily married, and then your dad dies, and within 63 days, your husband passes away, and you turn your life around.
Well, thank you. It's been a journey. It hasn't been easy. It's been definitely, there are moments when I feel like I've got the grace of, you know, something bigger than me that's been giving me the pathway and holding the flashlight for me, because it's not always easy to know if I'm, you know, going down the right path. But I've been a caregiver for my dad and my mom, and then, you know, my husband at the end of his life, and then knowing what I needed to know, which was I unfortunately could never find anything on the internet that was just going to tell me what the end of life looked like. And I feel like knowledge is power, and that if I can empower that upon people and give them the information that they need to find the answers, and I can help them get to those resources faster so they don't get lost on the internet, they don't get bad information. If I can get them to good professionals and experts that are good in their fields sooner than later, that everything I've gone through has been kind of a testament to helping other people avoid the pitfalls that I went through, whether it was closing down a business and a law practice for my husband, or being a caregiver and, you know, making decisions for my dad and making, you know, not knowing if I was giving the right advice to my dad when he was asking me, I'm going to have, you know, a major organ removed, and thinking that was, yeah, dad, you're going to be fine.
You know? Go ahead.
Yeah. I was like, you know, so there's so many things that I learned that if I can help people hold their hands, and we've gone through some really sticky situations, everything from organ donating with families that, you know, a loved one says, I want to donate my organs. And the family gets there and says, no, he changed his mind about 3 months ago, but that little checkbox on your driver's license is a contract. So we've been in some sticky situations helping families navigate at the end of life. And it's not always just, you know, through hospice or in a hospital. It's so many different ways that people go into this last transition. And if we can make it easier for them based on our experiences and all the people we've met these last 7.5 years, we're just blessed, really blessed.
Now, I noted on your bio, Esther Pippoli, that you're certified in conflict resolution, also trained in critical incident stress management and suicide support. And I would think there are cases, and Tina, you must know this as well, where a caregiver really reaches the end of the line where they're a risk for suicide.
Yeah. Tina, you and I probably both see it a little bit more than we would like to. But unfortunately, the increase in people taking their own lives, and I've done an incredible amount of studying because I started getting calls from families that were saying, you know, we think that this person is not, it's not, they're not doing well. And they're having a hard time with reality or what their reality is, because it is very difficult if you're by yourself with somebody that's in dementia and they don't remember you. It gets scary. And if there's not a support system around them, it really does drive them to a really dark space. And so having professionals to lean in on and organizations that you can call on. And there's a lot of free organizations that work and help with families that have somebody that might be appearing to look like they've got, you know, suicide that is kind of written all over them. And how do we even talk to them about this? How do we say, you know, we see this and we want to help you? So a lot of times it is trying to just get more education around that critical incident stress management, the suicide, because a lot of who we're seeing with caregiving is people that really do give up on themselves.
How do you pay for Lola? I'm assuming there are some fees for people who come to you, but not everyone can afford to pay a fee.
Right. So we actually are really lucky that we have a lot of corporate employer groups that pay for our services. And we're able to take some of that streamlined money and we donate a percentage of that to our community. We also work with area nonprofits, and we actually, if an organization is saying, you know what, I don't want to really buy this as an employee benefit, they can make a donation through a number of nonprofits, and the nonprofits, we can do a memorandum of understanding, and they can actually send people through their nonprofit to Lola. So they win as a nonprofit, but then we win a little as being able to help families that wouldn't ordinarily be able to support or afford our services. And we are 5 hours for $300. So we're about $60 an hour. And that is a fair price that we feel
wow.
like during COVID, we were at 200 for 5 hours. And people, you know, they'll go out and spend that on a weekend eating out, you know.
Exactly.
Nowadays. So if we can help them, that'd be great.
I was going to say, you know, I know you're located here in San Antonio, but you work outside of San Antonio, correct? I mean, are you?
We do. We have people. Well, we're all based out of San Antonio. I do have some advocates that are outside of San Antonio across Texas. But we learned through COVID that we could be anywhere virtually, just like we are today. You know, you're on a phone call, you're on a Zoom call. We helped families as far away as Washington State. We have the incredible connection between Texas and Washington State for whatever reason. But we have a lot of clients that were coming from Washington State and from Connecticut and New Jersey. We get a few from Florida. Atlanta seems to be somewhere that we've been picking up a lot of caregiver clients that need help with. Unfortunately, you know, somebody that's gotten into a terrible car accident or they've lost a child and they just.
I gotta stop you right here. We're flat out of time. Quickly, what is your website?
Lossoflifeadvocates.com. And thank you for having me. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Oh, you're a great guest. Great information. For Tina Smith, I'm Ron Aaron. Thanks for joining us on the award-winning Caregiver SOS On Air.
Executive producers for Caregiver SOS On Air are Carol Zernial and Ron Aaron. Our associate producer is Christy Romero. I'm Ron Aaron. We'll see you next week on Caregiver SOS On Air.
You've been listening to Caregiver SOS On Air, an exclusive presentation of the WellMed Charitable Foundation. We welcome emails with suggestions and comments on this program at radio@wellmed.net. Join co-hosts Carol Zernial and Ron Aaron next week for more on caregiving, improving the health and well-being of caregivers and their care recipients everywhere. For more on caregiving and podcasts of our programs, visit caregiversos.org.
Hopefully this is the last time you hear this ad, because with Chime Checking Account, features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, you can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade to spend more time listening to your favorite podcasts, or at least grab yourself an extra morning latte this month. Join millions of Chime members who work on their financial progress with fee-free overdraft and no monthly fees. When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.